Blog Talk Radio.
Now, in its second edition, Carol Dean's popular book, The Art of Film Funding, has 12 new chapters to cover all areas of film financing and how to avoid expensive pitfalls. Learn how to start with an idea and end with a trailer. How to make an ask for money. Create your story structure and your trailer. Legal advice, fair use, successful crowdfunding, how to ask for music rights, and what insurance you can't shoot without. Available on Amazon under Carol Dean and at FromTheHeartProductions.com. Hi, and welcome to The Art of Film Funding. I'm your co-host, Claire Papin, along with Carol Dean, author of the best-selling book, The Art of Film Funding. Carol is also the founder and president of From the Heart Productions and the host of this show. Born and raised in Chicago, our guest, Jeffrey Gordon, founded Writers Boot Camp in Los Angeles in 1989. A graduate of the University of Illinois, he moved to L.A. to study producing, and he earned his MFA at USC Film School. Soon after, Jeff created the unique screenwriting tools of Writers Boot Camp, and for the past 23 years, he's continually refined those tools in a full development process. Jeff is also a consultant to the studios and entertainment companies. And Carol, I understand that the Writers Boot Camp is a donor to the Roy Dean Film Grant.
Yes, Claire. We're so honored to have Writers Boot Camp as one of our top sponsors. And Jeff, we really thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure, and I love the work that you do.
Oh, thanks. It's very rewarding, I'll tell you that. Well, I know everyone wants to learn as much as they can about writing and rewriting. And so let's start with, what are the distinctions when you started Writers Boot Camp 23 years ago?
You know, it's funny how quickly it's gone. But having been involved in early writing classes in grade school and high school, and then eventually moving into, you know, more deeper education, I found that there weren't writing classes that were actually about writing. They were a reflection of a lot of the practitioners or teachers need to, you know, create a living. But they were lecture-oriented, and I felt that the process had to be more professional, having been exposed to, you know, the nature of the professional world in the entertainment business through working at the William Morris Agency in the training program and working for a director. And I just looked around and felt that the secret to writing is writing. And I created a syllabus for getting material written quickly, learning fundamentals, but while actually completing a draft.
That's the key. Well, I'll tell you that what I find is that most of the writers, the good writers I meet, say you have to write every day. If you want to be a good writer, that's what it's all about. It doesn't matter. You have to sit down and be diligent.
Well, it's funny because time goes so quickly, and there's nothing more frustrating than letting it pass without getting writing done. But too often, newer writers will overvalue the significance of pages, and we're emphasizing a much more like a greater understanding of the overall arc of the process. And ultimately, there are only 168 hours in the week, 24 hours a day times 7 days a week. And after 50 hours of day job, and for most normal people, 50 hours of sleep, that only leaves about, you know, less than 70 hours from which to grab at least 10 or 12 when you're in that learning process. But we're teaching our writers and our alumni to maintain a regimen to do more work in shorter sessions, and even if they're not writing every day, to maintain and sustain a schedule that's somewhat predictable so that it takes precedence over all the distractions in life.
That helped me a lot. When I was writing all these books, I've written three now, I would be at my computer at a specified, agreed-upon time between me and myself, And I always felt I had help. Somebody else was there helping me. And I did 2 hours in the morning with no phone calls, no interruptions. And then if I wanted to do any editing, I would do that later in the afternoon. But I found that with that commitment, I was able to move through the book quickly.
Right. Well, it's breaking the process down into its smaller steps. But also, as we hope and as we idealize, writing, as in any art or craft, creatively speaking, you know, is a lifestyle. And we, unfortunately, in Western society, are too often evaluated or labeled for what we do as opposed to necessarily who we are, even from a more metaphysical point of view, which we could debate on a Saturday morning. But I think it's important to be, you know, identifying not just from a place of passion, of course, that's important to sustain the work, but to know what it is that we want to really be in our lives, and that's how you, I think, focus, you know, productivity.
Exactly. Well, let me ask you, I know your alumni are working at the top of the industry, from television showrunners to celebrity actors and filmmakers to the winner of the Tony Award. So why is this?
Well, I think it's because of the focus on the actual profession and the nature of the work. Every course that we've offered through the years has been based on a requirement, regardless of what people are writing, that they get in 10 hours a week. And once they learn the many, many tools that I've created, that, are, by the way, are non-formulaic, but just empower the individual with their own authority, and they, you know, focus on the breakdown of that process, they learn, if they are able to quit their day job eventually, and some people are fortunate that they start out with a lot of time on their hands, they learn to do in 10 hours they learn how to use effectively, you know, every set of hours, so that when they do have 40 hours or a full-time, you know, writing opportunity, they can be effective. And they do the work, and they have the tools, and they're taught not to agonize and not to, emphasize, you know, the early part of the process. For many of the legends in the industry, some of the filmmakers in our other forums that I've interviewed, they go through an excruciating process because they often write too linearly. Now, it's one thing for a Woody Allen or even a Nancy Meyers to be, you know, involved in, sort of immersed in the luxury of being able to take so much time to agonize. But our alumni are offered tools to evaluate and rewrite their own work more effectively. And these aren't only tools for writers, but also tools for collaboration. And I think by investing in education very early in a way that's freeing, and again, looking at the entire process, not just the first draft process, but tools for brainstorming, tools for evaluation, for decision making. Sometimes a writing session is deemed positive and constructive because a decision has been made, and it's not just about the volume of pages written. So in addition to Writer's Boot Camp always being about the profession and about the work as opposed to just a club to hang out and talk to each other, although networking is helpful too, they've invested in a process that is about breaking the work into its stages.
This is brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, not everybody's a conceptual thinker. Not everybody is aware that there's a social contract with an audience, whether you're doing TV, movies, or I think in web video, not just the typical user-generated content, but when it comes to the real creator material, the artist material, and those passionate works that break out, I think they do understand that there's an expectation an audience has that what they're investing in or spending time on is not derivative, and there's a certain originality. But in order to be original, you have to understand what's come before. And if you're not aware of pop, mutually shared, you know, pop culture references, if you're not in the loop on a certain kind of idiom, then you're destined to be unoriginal, and therefore you're not going to work at the highest levels of the entertainment business. You know, even though you can argue that there's not a lot of original work, it is familiar in the form, but doing something fresh to some degree that we haven't quite seen in a while.
It has to be. You're right. Well, with the success of your renowned five-week basic training course, how did the main mission of Writer's Boot Camp grow into a professional membership with 48 sessions of coursework and ongoing career support?
That's a good question. There's a tendency for people just starting out to be, again, so much unwittingly, you know, ego-based on getting that one project or that one draft and getting to pages. But the real profession requires many drafts. And we found that we got so many people to be more productive in, you know, 2 months on the first draft process, but there was a need for an ongoing regimen. What happens beyond that? And getting to the rewriting process, in addition to the fact that it's usually the fifth or sixth script that somebody has in their arsenal that is the one that starts to resonate or that conceptually, you know, becomes more viable or interesting to the town and then makes the rest of them more relevant, because when you have one that breaks you through, then people are inevitably considering, you know, what else do you have?
Exactly.
Because that might not be, even if it moves you or it's a great writing sample, it might not be makeable for whatever reasons. So what I've articulated is in 10 hours a week, which doesn't stop after that first draft, 10 different kinds of drafts that you do, so that we've articulated the nature of the rewriting process. And that's what we do in our professional membership. Professional membership is about developing 3 to 4 scripts over 21 months. And then there are ongoing benefits beyond just the coursework, those first 48 sessions. It can be 10, 15 years of free script evaluation and events and access to our archive of materials.
Great. Well, before we get further into the materials and tools, can you mention the 3 initiatives that you're offering today's participants during March?
Yeah. We don't have the capacity often to create discounts, but one of the things we're willing to do when we meet great people through organizations like yours, within a few days to a week of this, you know, show, for our upcoming basic training sessions, there are live sessions in New York and L.A. L.A. is March 11th and New York is March 12th, and then one-on-one, it's the same price, $9.95. We can give $200 off if they, you know, refer to you and, you know, from the heart or the Art of Film Funding. We also are willing to offer an initiative to our professional members where up to 20% of their tuition can be done through work, study, trade, from helping in the office with events, to doing some videography or graphic design. It's just a way that over the last 3-4 years, especially with the difficult economy, we've been able to help make things even more affordable. And we do payment plans and customized payment plans. And for the same $9.95 that people get into basic training, they can start their professional membership for what they really need. So those are some of the initiatives that we're willing to offer those organizations and their members and fans who share our sensibilities.
Wonderful.
Okay. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry, Carol, go ahead.
I was just wondering, let's reiterate the 2 levels of rewriting and the fallacies that writers tend to abide.
Right. Well, I've articulated after first draft, which is about 1/3 or 2 months of a 6-month process when you're just working 10 hours a week because you still have another day job. There are 2 levels of rewriting, component level and craft level. Component level is about bringing new material to a draft. New scene ideas, new encounters between characters, the additional more specific increments of a kind of experience or adventure, how something works or how something, you know, how characters process what they're encountering on a journey together, new stages of relationship. And we identify that it takes about 40 hours or 4 weeks, working 10 hours a week, to bring 30 to 50% new material to a draft. And if you do that three times in a row, 1 month at a time, you're now at month five. And the script has completely changed, just like the scaffolding of a building is gone by the time the house is built. The craft level refers to how you write your actual screenplay page. And we have a term at Writer's Bootcamp, misbehavior. And it's how you misbehave in life is probably how you misbehave in your writing. How you misbehave in terms of your scene work or the quality of the screenplay page is probably how you do so on every pages, on every one of your pages. And so craft rewrites, I've identified maybe three or four dozen different kinds of orbits or passes you can do on a script, whether it's trying to make the writing more visual, more emotional, more soulful, more behavioral, ground it in character voice, character point of view, and there are dozens of those. A craft rewrite would take maybe one of those 10-hour weeks or a weekend. So instead of, here are a few fallacies about rewriting. People tend to rewrite every level all at once. Secondly, they receive notes from friends, producers, people in the business, their family members, but too many levels of notes mean that you're not really focusing more on the fresh entertainment, so that a weaker concept is never going to be overcome by rewriting, and we need to focus on that conceptual level. Also, there are about a dozen or more common first draft problems just based on the nature of writing and how a newer writer doesn't understand all the time how much they don't know or how insular they are about their story, about their character's motivations. And writers tend to be a little bit too linear and being and word crafting prematurely and being, you know, focused on the word or the line ultimately prevents or preempts a writer from being more structural or more aerial about the nature of that audience experience, whether it's in the theater or whether it's a reader reading the script.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Yes, it is.
Hopefully everybody's following that. But, you know,
well,
what we're doing
make
is...
Sure that- Oh, go ahead, please.
I was just going to say, we're empowering our writers to be self-aware about their strengths and weaknesses and to commit to all aspects of the process and never be resistant to doing the work that the writer is ultimately paid to do. And unfortunately, too many writers abdicate authority by going into a room, whether it's an early, you know, introductory meeting or a pitch, or somebody's interested in a project that they've actually read, which is really the most pertinent kind of meeting, when somebody's read somebody's work already, or in, you know, development meetings, whether independently or at the studio level. I've seen too many times a writer not control the room because they are not on top of their process, and they end up retreating from it, sometimes by just what they don't know or from a lack of experience. So we want to empower our writers to stay on a project all throughout. And even on some of the more mainstream, broader success stories out of Writer's Bootcamp, even if the kinds of movies aren't for every person or might be for a younger audience, the really great thing is that our writers tend to stay on a project all throughout, which means they're continuing to get rewriting fees.
Oh, that's great. That's the way it should be.
Ideally.
All right, well, listen, I want to ask you about this, and I want to make sure I say this word correctly, too, but one of the words you've borrowed and given more practical application as a writing tool is the word, am I saying this right, conceit?
Yes, conceit, which goes to the word concept, which we used to hear on the playground. Oh, so-and-so is conceited.
Yes.
which just really meant, you know, somebody had an idea of themselves, but maybe they were a relatively obscure artist because their audience didn't agree with them, you know. Or maybe they did control everybody on the playground and tell them what to do. So, yeah, conceit, there's all this lip service paid to story, but ultimately there are only so many new, you know, so many forms of storytelling and certain genres and expectations going back to, you know, the classics and the Greeks or, you know, around the campfire. or in the cave. There's all this lip service paid to story, but it's really the approach that you take to story, to how you arrange the story components and what your fresh entertainment filter is that makes a difference. So a conceit is, I've identified two or three areas of freshness or uniqueness, and they are unique personality, or what we call character conceit, which is more rare than... Secondly, story conceit, or fresh action or detail of action, what characters are doing we haven't seen before. And then occasionally there's a cinematic conceit, which is really a unique special effect or aspect of presentation. And to give a sort of an overview, the movie The Matrix has four conceits. And the interesting thing is, you only need one to be successful. You don't need four. But mm-hmm. The Matrix happened to have two cinematic conceits, the floaty martial arts fighting that was used again in Crouching Tiger to some degree in a slightly different way, and then bullet time, which was the 360-degree pixelated stop-motion photography. Beyond, you know, most screenwriters, unless they're filmmakers and techies, don't create new aspects of filmmaking. So writers can do that and be creative, at least on the page, but we don't emphasize that as much, cinematic conceit. So we primarily emphasize unique personality and unique action. And if you make a list of characters that are unique in the pantheon, from, you know, a Rocky Balboa to a Terminator, or the Marvel characters from Spider-Man, Iron Man, the Incredible Hulk to the Mighty Thor, to more human uniqueness like Annie Hall or Arthur from the Dudley Moore comedy Arthur, or broader characters like Austin Powers or even Shrek or Bugs Bunny. You can see how unique personality gives pop to every new moment on the page that they're interacting. And it's not what they're doing, but it's how they're doing it. And then story conceit speaks to a lot of the more high-concept situations, the situations, the adventures, what characters are doing, the nature of relationships, from a Liar Liar or Big or Tootsie or Legally Blonde or even the Twisters and Jurassic Parks, to more independent movies like Leaving Las Vegas or Monsters Ball or Once or even Winter's Bone, where you're looking at what the characters are doing and asking, how is this a source of freshness? And while we're teaching writers to be fundamentally grounded in character, who a character is, and thematically or behaviorally what they have to learn, if you don't have this fresh source of material, then you're kind of missing it. And often, if I read a screenplay, actually, rather than reading a new screenplay or an early draft, if I can get a solid one-page summary that's well-structured, an exercise we call a 3-6-3, which is a one-page story map articulating the first three sequences in the first act, the sixth in the second, and three in the third, so that the first act is only the first three sentences. It doesn't go beyond that first sort of first paragraph on that four-paragraph page. Then, and I get a list of moments that are carrying the DNA of what's fresh about that material, chances are I see the potential for that project, but also the potential for that writer to be a conceptual writer, not just you know, stuck in the pages linearly. So I'm sure there are more questions I can answer regarding this topic.
Wow. That is such a visual understanding of the words that you've given us. Thank you very much for giving us all those films, because they were spot on. And this new film that's up for the Academy Award about the Silver Lining Playbook, that was an unusual. There was a whole family that was unusual.
Right, exactly. Well, I'm actually watching Zero Dark Thirty this afternoon, because it's the one that I haven't seen. And while in some ways Argo is the front runner, apparently, for Best Picture, my favorite movie of the year so far is Silver Linings Playbook, because without being you know, a spoiler for those people who haven't seen it, in addition to respecting David O. Russell as a filmmaker and as a screenwriter working on his own film, in the adaptation process, I feel the unfolding of that story was so dynamic, was so fun, felt natural, and of course had contrivance, but turned into something somewhat unexpected. And it's my favorite of the year because of that, and because the dynamic relationship between Bradley Cooper's character and Jennifer Lawrence's has all of those stages of progression that provide, you know, a sort of audience imprinting, so that the relationship is an adventure in addition to the physical adventure that characters are going through. I wish, although I think they were being true and it's still distinctive, I wish that the title had been worked on, because it feels to me that the title is a little bit obscure and isn't as attracting. I'm not saying I have, off the top of my head, a new title suggestion, but that was my only wish. But I'm rooting
Carol,
for that.
Carol, I want to let you know that we have about 3 minutes left, and I know there's plenty more you want to talk about. What would you like to? Where would you like to go with this next?
Well, I want to go to how do writers and filmmakers drill down their projects and their stories. How do you do that? And then you really must tell us how people can find you and learn more about Writers Bootcamp, please.
Okay, great. Well, I've created about 100 terms and tools and specific exercises to empower writing and the communication process between writers and filmmakers and producers and executives. So learning those development tools and having that set, about, you know, a quarter of them relate to the first draft process, and all of them relate to the ongoing rewriting process. There are about 6 different single-sentence exercises that we do. Premise line, which is a formatted log line, which includes the 5 story conceits, the 5 story components, main character, dynamic character, third-party opponent, adventure, and genre. Thematic statements, which pertain to premise lines, but are the meaning of the story, more specifically. Character conceit statement, story conceit statement, you know, and there are 2 levels of brainstorming. It's how you, first of all, free associate to come up with a single sentence that identifies that part of the process, but then, secondly, how you drill down by replacing words and phrases to come up with a more compact and more fully expressed version of that. Our basic training class exposes people to a lot and that process of matching concept with execution. Because of the 4 levels of script development and evaluation, working top-down, concept to structure to character development to scene work on the page, where concept and scene work intersect, is in a moment that carries some glistening, you know, shiny quality or combination of qualities that represents what's fresh about the concept. And if you have 100 moments that carry that quality, then you start to develop a screenplay that can provide an audience experience that's entertaining in a specific way. People can contact us by going to writersbootcamp.com. You can complete a career survey. There's a banner that says, we'll kick the script out of you. I created it during the football season. Also, they can always email me directly at JG for Jeff Gordon at writersbootcamp.com. And there's a lot of information on our website, including all of our alumni credits, the hundreds of movies and TV shows that people have worked on. And I was at the Streamy Awards last weekend, and we've got what I consider to be the virtual vanguard of new people on the web that are creating and going from writer to owner,
which
is a very significant way to empower people.
Wonderful. Excellent. So again, that website is writersbootcamp.com?
Yes.
Okay.
And there's some also creative articles. If you go to the fat footer on the bottom, too, there's some additional articles and that offer creative perspective of some of the things we've talked about today.
It was great having you on. Thank you so much for joining us, Jeffrey.
Continued luck to you and great work, both of you. I really appreciate you, and anything we can do to help you, we're always here for you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, have a good weekend. Bye.
I want to remind our listeners that David Raiklin is a brilliant and talented award-winning musician who scores films and can compose music for a trio or for a full orchestra. David is a very good friend to the independent filmmaker and comes highly recommended by From the Heart Productions. If you need music to help tell your story, please contact him at davidraiklin.com. That's David, RAIKLEN.com. And Carol and I want to thank you for tuning in to The Art of Film Funding. Please visit our website at FromTheHeartProductions.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good luck with your films, everyone.